And welcome back to Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. As we promised you earlier, we're going to get into a little later in the show a broader topic on it's now been 5 years since Tennessee has legalized sports betting in the state. And you see it from all angles with the Titans, the Predators, advertisements on Jill's show, I'm sure, on our show here on our station.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get away from it, even if you try. But those of you who can go back a little ways will always remember, especially me, who's done a lot of sports talk in this city, the unbelievable story it was when Pete Rose was banned from baseball for betting on the game. And all that went with that, just the mega stardom of Pete Rose. And that's why we're really looking forward to this author that we're having on right now, Keith O'Brien, who wrote Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose. Now, Keith is from Cincinnati, so he's got a unique perspective. He was able to, years and years later now, go back and really look at the story from a different perspective and try to find new avenues that really hadn't been explored before this. And he's got a great book. It's a New York Times bestseller, so we welcome Keith to the show. Keith, great to have you on today.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Keith, I can go back when I graduated at Vanderbilt and I started sports talk in the mid-1990s. This was a few years removed from Pete Rose getting banned. But anytime you wanted to light up the phone lines, even in Nashville, and of course there's a lot of Reds roots here in Nashville. You go back to the 70s when it was a different time watching baseball. We had a big discussion, Jill, as you remember yesterday on baseball.
Yeah.
But going back historically, when the Braves weren't very good, before the Braves rose in the 90s, the Reds were really a mainstream kind of team that people watched in Nashville. So there's a huge Pete Rose fan base. So, Keith, as you can imagine, you bring up Pete Rose and should he be allowed to be in the Hall of Fame? What should the penalty be? That was an enormous sports story back then, and it continues to be today.
Well, it absolutely does. And that's one of the most fascinating things about Pete Rose. You know, 35 years after he was banned from baseball, 35 years since he was allowed to set foot on a baseball field, and we're still sorting through the wreckage that he created, not just in, you know, American sports culture, I would argue in American culture. And, you know, I think, frankly, the wreckage is even more complex today, given the reasons you mentioned at the outset of the segment here. I mean, you know, gambling has now been legalized in 36 states, the District of Columbia. You know, last year, we legally wagered, $120 billion on sports alone, just sports. And I mean, to put that in perspective for a second, you know, if we had instead pooled our $120 billion instead of wagering it, we could have purchased every single Major League Baseball team and still had like $50 billion jangling around in our pockets. So it's an enormous sum of money. It is fundamentally changing how we talk about sports, how we interact with sports. I think it's fundamentally changing us as a people. And so what better time to go back and revisit the story of Pete Rose than now?
Keith, you as we mentioned, you grew up in Cincinnati, and that was really the fortress that protected him as long as they could. I can remember when I was in college, you know, some Reds fans that lived in my my dorm hall were saying, "Here's the book. You know, it proves that Pete is innocent." You know, there was all kinds of, you know, literature and everything you could find trying to prove that he didn't do it. He held to that for so long before he came clean himself. But what was it like from your perspective, just growing up watching him like you did and then watching the whole story unfold?
Yeah, so I was born in 1973. I'll date myself. So I'm too young to remember the Big Red Machine years, those epic teams of 1975, 76. You know, my first real memories are the early 1980s as a baseball fan. So that's the retirement of Johnny Bench in 1983. That's Pete Rose returning to the Reds from the Montreal Expos in 1984. And that's Pete Rose setting the all-time hit record in 1985, you know, when he passed Ty Cobb on the all-time hits list. But I remember, too, the feelings in 1989 when the early allegations emerged that he had bet on baseball and the Reds, and a scandal and an investigation that devoured the entire year, the entire baseball season. And, you know, I'll say for me, you know, my reaction in the earliest days was similar to that of, I think, most Reds fans, most baseball fans. I thought it was implausible and impossible that Pete Rose, of all people, would have bet on the Reds in willingly violating Rule 21D, a rule that he knew would get him banned from baseball for life. But by the end of that summer, you know, I think any objective fan looking at the baseball, Major League Baseball investigation, a voluminous report, an investigation led by a man named John Dowd, anyone looking at that objectively by the summer of 1989 would have to say that it seemed very likely that Pete had bet on baseball. And so the lies that Pete told that summer and then told for 15 more years were incredibly destructive, not just to him, but to the city of Cincinnati, to Major League Baseball, to John Dowd, the man who investigated him, and I would say even to Bart Giamatti, the commissioner of baseball in 1989.
We're on with Keith O'Brien, author of his new book, Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose. And Keith, just listening to you and using the word destructive, especially as you grew up, you know, a fan watching him and then seeing and hearing all of this unfold. My question is kind of more of a writer's perspective, because I know it took a lot of time to put this book together. You talked to a lot of different people other than just Pete Rose, right? You talked to, I know, Faye Vincent, the deputy commissioner at the time, right? A lot of other big people that played such a role in his banishment. And my question, Keith, is, writing this book, doing this reporting, as you put this together, how did it change or not change your view of Pete Rose and your personal opinion of him as a person and a player?
Well, you know, I think those two things are separate, you know, the person and the player. You know, I'll say this, you know, I think most people, even me, even most Reds fans, have forgotten why we ever cared about Pete Rose in the first place. I think, you know, in the last 35 years, while he's been banned and made mistake after mistake off the field and sort of become a caricature of himself, we forgot why we ever cared. And so one thing I would say, Jill, is going back and writing this story with granular reporting, interviews with the people who were there, it's sort of stunning. The kind of baseball player that Pete Rose was. We wouldn't even know what to do with him today. He played the game that hard. They hardly knew what to do with him back then, at a time when every player was playing for the next year's contract, when there was no five-year guaranteed money, when no one was making, you know, $5 million a year, much less 70. So they didn't know what to do with him back then. And so I would say one thing that surprised me was just what an iconic and important baseball player he was. You know, I've really come to think that you cannot write the story of baseball in the 20th century without Pete Rose. That said, there's that other side, the person. And the person made many great, terrible decisions. Again and again and again. And, you know, you really have to look at the Pete Rose story as a tragedy. And frankly, I think almost as a Greek tragedy. And that is how I came to think of this story. It's a Greek tragedy that just happened to play out in and around an American baseball field.
A Greek tragedy that is so incredibly relevant to today's game, the MLB, and that Rule 21. If you bet on baseball on your team, you get a lifetime ban. And we just saw that at the start of the month with the Padres infielder, Tucapita Moracana. He was found along with four others. The four other players were betting, but they were betting on not their team. So they received the one-year ban, but Moracana received the lifetime ban. The first person to be permanently ineligible for baseball, for banned for life, since Pete Rose did. And I can't help but think of your book, Keith, Charlie Hustle, Rise and Fall of Pete Rose, when this kind of news came out, and also the Shohei Ohtani scandal, as these big, huge, massive, game-changing events or scandals are going on right now. Were you just scratching your head and saying, oh my goodness, Pete Rose all over again? Could you believe the timing of all of this, like you said, 35 years later?
So, I mean, I guess my answer to that question might be surprising, but I was completely not stunned, not taken aback, and could absolutely believe what was happening. You know, you mentioned a couple minutes ago Faye Vincent. Faye Vincent was a deputy commissioner under Bart Giamatti in 1989. He would ultimately become commissioner when Bart Giamatti died. You know, Faye Vincent is one of the people I interviewed for this book, interviewed countless times. And in one of our very first interviews, way back in September 2021, almost 3 years ago, Faye was looking out over the landscape of America at that time, you know, and the sweeping legalization of gambling that was happening then. And looking out at that time, Faye said, there's going to be more Pete Roses and there's going to be more corruption. It's only a matter of time. And here we are. You know, I would suggest that the time is now. And Tucapita Marcano won't be the last. You know, there was another professional player who was banned this spring as well in the NBA, Jontay Porter. Two players banned in sports for gambling. You know, this is the kind of thing that 35 years ago would have spawned months of headlines and investigations. And we've already forgotten. We've already moved on. And it's because gambling is now pervasive in our society.
Exactly.
You know, we have the gambling apps on our phones. People are gambling like never before. And so, sadly, these kind of scandals aren't that surprising at all.
So, Keith, one layer to this that I found really fascinating, and I saw it in a separate article for your book, but something you authored, just the angle of journalism and where we are today as opposed to back then. And you mentioned Faye Vincent, but Sports Illustrated, as you sort of document, had started to find out what Pete Rose was doing. You kind of say that baseball, and you did the research in your book, it's in your book as well, but baseball was aware that Pete had the gambling problem, but they were kind of looking around going, this is Pete Rose. Like, we got to try to keep this in-house. Let's try to deal with this. But because the journalism was what it was about to hit. And they couldn't ignore it, and they had to start investigating as a result.
Absolutely true. You know, based on my reporting, this isn't my opinion, this is based on my reporting, baseball was well aware of Pete Rose's debts to bookies and his sports gambling habit as far back as 1978, if not sooner. That's 11 years before he's banned from baseball for life. So baseball has willingly stuck its head in the sand. It doesn't want to know what it doesn't know about Pete Rose. Lots of other people, including the people in the front office of the Cincinnati Reds, also don't want to know what they don't know about Pete Rose. And it is a Sports Illustrated investigation that changes everything. You know, in February 1989, front office at Major League Baseball catches the whiff of a rumor that Sports Illustrated has a tip that Pete has been betting on baseball and the Reds. And it's because of that rumor that Faye Vincent and Bart Giamatti call Pete into New York for a secret meeting. And in this secret meeting, they ask him point blank, have you been betting on baseball? And notably, all of the men in the room that day believe him. When he says no, he denies it. He's believable. But because Sports Illustrated is circling, Faye Vincent and Bart Giamatti know that they can't take his word for it. They have to dig into it themselves. They can't be caught flat-footed by an investigation by a major American magazine. And so they begin doing their own investigation, which ultimately leads to his banishment. And so, you know, you do wonder, you know, what sports journalism outfit today, in a time of massive media cutbacks across the country, has the presence and the power to hold athletes and leagues and teams accountable in a time of sweeping gambling. You know, I think it's a big concern. And, you know, you mentioned, Jill, a minute ago, the investigation around Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. I still personally, as a journalist, have many questions.
Me too. Yes. Keith.
Well, that's where we were going to maybe go with this too, Keith, is you mentioned Sports Illustrated was not out of the ordinary at all for an outfit like that. Or there's many other journalistic outlets back in the day that would take 2, 3, 4 weeks travel around the globe if necessary to work on something and really find out and send a team of people, not just one person. Do we know if anybody's even asking those questions or trying to uncover some things more about Ohtani to try to answer all the questions that we all have?
Listen, I personally don't know, and I think we have to say clearly that, you know, investigators have found no wrongdoing related to Shohei Ohtani. That said, you know, there are so many unanswered questions about that particular scandal. I think there are holes in that story that you could drive a battleship through at this point. And I do wonder why more media outlets aren't digging into those questions and trying to understand those holes in that story. You know, namely, based on court documents, Ippei Mizuhara gambled about $180 million over the course of 26 months and lost, again, allegedly $42 million. He's only being accused of stealing 17. So who paid the other $25 million? Because it doesn't seem to me that Ippei Mizuhara has the financial wherewithal to pay those debts himself.
Bringing it to full circle here as we let you go, Keith, and this is fascinating stuff. Again, the book is called Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose, New York Times bestseller. If you're a Pete Rose fan, if you're a baseball fan, it is awesome. And it is on my list to read cover to cover this summer.
Mine as well.
I'm going to do this. Keith, Pete Rose today is also pretty interesting. If you YouTube, and I did this morning, just random interviews Pete Rose has done over the years, at whatever stage of life, he's engaging. He's great when you're just talking baseball. You got a chance to do this several times for your book. I'm sure you were sitting there fascinated as a baseball fan about that part of it, but you're also doing the other part of the story too. But where is he in life now, sitting at 82? Because he's ostracized from baseball and he's got this whole gambling world, he still is sort of drawn to that world, right?
Yeah, Pete Rose is 83 years old, and in some ways he is sort of turned into the old man, you know, on the fringes of the universe he wants to live in, you know, shaking his fist at the sky. He remains unable to even, you know, get into a batting cage with Cincinnati Reds prospects. The all-time hit leader can't teach, you know, young kids how to hit a baseball. He can't go to spring training. And those things do drive Pete Rose crazy. You know, one thing that I learned about Pete in the reporting of this book, and it seems obvious, but I don't think it is that he loved baseball. And the truth is, not everyone who's great at their sport really loves it. But Pete Rose did. He loved batting practice. He loved fielding practice. He loved road trips. He loved sitting in the dugout. He loved bantering on the field. And of course, he loved hitting. He loved everything about it. And it's been taken away from him. He lost it due to his own choices again and again and again. And I believe that at 83 years old, he is regretful of those choices and yet still cannot seem to get out of his own way when reckoning with his past.
Yeah. Do you think, Keith, ultimately, I know you asked all your interview subjects in your book this question, but do you think at some point he will be given what a lot of people could live with now? Maybe they feel like he served his time, whatever you rationalize, because I think I would have been arguing 20 years ago that, no, he violated Rule 21, and that's it. He knew what he was doing. He's banned for life. But this argument of, could you put him in the Hall of Fame as a player if you want to recognize that? Do you think that day will come someday?
You know, I waffle back and forth on this. I don't believe it's going to happen while he's alive. I think that ship sailed long ago. I do tend to believe that when he's gone, he will likely be reinstated. And when he's reinstated, he could be placed back on the ballot and writers could vote for him for the first time. And we could sort it out then. The interesting thing is, guys, we could have sorted this out 35 years ago. When he was banned in August 1989, there was no rule that stated he couldn't appear on the ballot. That rule was only put into place 2 years later, within months of Pete's name first appearing there at Cooperstown. It was effectively the Pete Rose corollary. And because it was enacted, we have never had the chance to sort it out, to hash it out, to debate it, and really vote on it in some meaningful way. And I think, honestly, that would have been helpful to do a long, long time ago. We could have put this to bed a long time ago, one way or the other. Mm.
Keith, great stuff. And I hope you've...
Yes, thank you.
Continue to have success with this book, and looking forward to having you on again sometime. But thanks a lot for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It was a blast.
All right. Keith O'Brien, author, Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose. A lot of layers there. A lot of different angles we can take. Just Pete Rose himself, yeah. Fascinating sports character. Then journalism, mm-hmm. gambling, and sports. All very pertinent every day.
Today's world, today's athletes, and the athletes, and the youth growing up. You know, we talk about how gambling is becoming more and more prevalent in our society. Well, unfortunately, it's also making bad headlines for athletes. And mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, college athletes, younger kids are looking at that and learning this lesson. But it's something that's going to be continuing in the sports world. For what? Forever?
Forever.
Right? Forever.
I think forever.
Forever.
Nice. Sandlot reference. I like it. All right. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion. Jill Jelinek with Fox 17. Willie Donick here with you on this Tuesday. College World Series will start up at 1 o'clock. We'll keep you updated on that game. Who's going to play Tennessee in the finals of that bracket? Stay tuned. We're coming back with more. Don't forget, Willie and D. Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Interesting with our discussion. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up in Tennessee to bet.